started. We are going.
Yeah, we are going. Welcome back, people. You know who we are. Joe and Emerson. What's new, Joe?
Work. Nothing new is going on in any of any note.
Okay. Any excitement in your life? Halloween? You gonna have the haunted house again?
Halloween, we just give out candy on the street. That's next week.
Yes, it is. So we're recording this episode on the 25th of October, which means it is 3 days until my birthday.
Oh, cool. You gotta fucking tell me these things earlier. I'm not gonna be able to send you a card on time.
Oh, that's all right. You did it 2 years in a row. It's good enough.
Okay.
Maybe just send a video of you dancing to me and that would be good enough.
That implies any such video exists.
You'll have to make it yourself.
Well, we'll figure something out, but,
all right.
What about you?
That's what's coming up in my life. I mean, that's really the only thing of note as of right now.
Okay.
Yeah, just give me 1 second. I've got to untangle my headphones.
Professional podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
Piss. I'm back.
You didn't leave. I heard you say piss.
I know. I'm keeping that in because that's like my new catchphrase. When something doesn't go right, I say piss instead of shit.
Okay, so whose turn is it to do the task?
Hang on, let's introduce the episode first.
Oh, yeah.
So, we have officially crossed the halfway point of Series 8. We are now in Episode 6, titled Rock and Roll Umlaut.
Mm-hmm.
And the banter. Alex has downloaded a mirror app on his iPad, and I say that in air quotation marks, because he's literally just put a normal mirror the same size of his iPad in the case. And
well, he still had the iPad in there because you could see the iPad through the hole for the camera.
Oh, I thought he'd just taken the iPad out and then put the mirror in the case.
You can see the iPad camera through the little camera hole. I thought it would have been funnier if the mirror app was just the camera. But, like, just the forward-facing camera. But, you know, I guess...
Excuse me.
That would be too cerebral. Like
it, as usual when it is.
Get a different time zone.
Yes. As usual, it is fast approaching midnight when I'm recording. Whereas Joe, the sun probably hasn't even set yet.
It's getting closer to it setting earlier and earlier. But,
yeah.
Anyways, so...
Who did do the prize toss?
Well, we've got the Hawaiian...
Was it me or was it you?
We've got the Hawaiian shirt count this week, so we should do that first.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Hawaiian shirt count!
Which, this one was...
Talk us through it, Joe.
These guys were dressed up for today, because this was great. We've got a shirt count of 3... So we start off with a Sean who's wearing a leopard print outfit that's fantastic. Then we've got special shout out to Paul Sinha for almost making the cut with a button up shirt with like little patterns on it, like a little pineapple that's just a repeated dot pattern. And then we've got Ian Sterling and Lou Sanders, who both look like clothing stores exploded on them, which is a fantastic look, and everyone should emulate. Brightly patterned, incoherent stitching, wonderful. A special shout-out to the fact that Lou's wearing zebra print boots. Love it. Top tier. And then there's Joe Thomas.
I thought this was the Hawaiian shirt count, not the crazy clothes count.
That this is all in that same vein. Shut the fuck up. And then also we've got Joe Thomas who's wearing black on black on brown. Not very
good. Wait, hang on. There's a specific task that I want to talk about.
Which one?
Can I make sure? The score the goal task.
Why?
I just thought it was funny.
Okay. Then you do that one. I'll do the other one, which means...
That means I have to do the prize task.
Yes, then go ahead.
Okay, so as you all know, because I am relatively lazy when it comes to actually recording and preparing, I just copy and paste my notes verbatim from Taskmaster.info.
Relatively is a bit of an understatement.
I beg your pardon?
Relatively lazy is an understatement.
Well, I edit this podcast, mate, so I do that.
Could at least lie and say that you take the notes yourself.
No, because I fuss over note-taking too much. I do not like note-taking.
Well, just lie and say you took notes, and then just say you took bad notes.
No, I'm too far into this. Mentioned it before. I'm too far into this shtick. Well, what a waste of everyone's time. So the prize task is bring in the best see-through item. And Joe Thomas, in true Joe Thomas fashion, has brought in a window. Very straightforward thinking. Yeah, I don't think I need to explain this. Lou Sanders has gone in a very different direction, and she has brought in a book called 50 Ways to See Through People, through spelt as in drive-through.
What was the guy's name? Vernon something, who wrote this. It seemed like it was a self-published book.
Anyway, what? Because the way Lou advertises this book to Greg is that there's a bunch of snakes in the industry, and if you have this book, you'll be able to see how who is legit and who is a snake, pretty much. And then Paul Sinha, aka the smartest man on the show.
Well, you're missing also from that the description that they read a passage out of it, which basically shows, and this is, I think, actually classic British thinking, which is that literally every positive way to describe an emotional state is listed as being phony. Because as we know, England is a miserable country filled with dreary weather and dour people. So,
you threw me off a bit there.
What?
Paul Sinha.
Am I wrong?
AKA, yes, but actually, no.
So, but no, it's even.
Me and Joe have been friends for 2.5 years and we still don't know how to talk to each other.
I know how to talk fine. You just need to come up. You just need to be quicker on the jokes. You always got to have a comeback locked and loaded.
Mate, cut me some slack. We're talking on Discord where things are delayed, so it makes it even worse.
Just got to be better.
I've met this motherfucker. He is the most sarcastic, sassy person I've ever met.
Get good. Meet sarcastic. Okay. England being the land of dry sarcasm, you just need to get good. Have you thought?
I don't have to. Oh, forget.
Have you thought about being better? This is American exceptionalism.
Last week our episode was called "Stop Being Poor." This week's episode will be called like "Be Better" or something.
Get on my level.
I'll put that in the chest. Paul Sinha, the smartest man in the show, has brought in a stripy hula hoop, which
is,
I'm not entirely sure how you're supposed to look through it. I think it's translucent.
No, it's,
but you can also look through the hole.
It's actually just opaque. I think he's trying to say it's like a window with no glass in it. It's not transparent.
It looks a bit transparent from the image Alex had on the screen.
It does not. I saw it on the screen. It's not. It just really... Paul brought this in because he wanted it out of his house, and he knew that it would go home with the winner of the episode, which would not be him.
Paul's not won an episode yet.
And he hasn't this time either. Spoiler.
No, but he has to, because he's not listed as one of the people who's never won an episode, so...
Well, he probably wins one.
We'll have to keep our eyes peeled for that. We'll have to keep our eyes peeled for that in the next 4 episodes. Sean Gibson has brought in everyone's favourite thing, alcohol, specifically gin. I've got no notes on this.
No, and neither did Greg or anybody else. It was just alcohol. Honestly, gin. I thought that Greg would have been a bit more enthusiastic about it because I, you know, it's like, because this is actually, I want to start, say this. This is one of those instances where.
Sorry, that was where a the, laptop okay. nearby that wasn't mine.
You don't have to address the noises, Emerson. Just move on. Because then you'll throw us off. But, I thought Greg would have been more enthusiastic about this, but more to the point, this is one of those episodes where even if the prompt is slightly weaker than it really should have been, it's made up for by the reactions of everyone else, because Greg is just dying as these mediocre things just keep getting brought up, and he's like, everybody's just trying to get in last. And then you've got, in a moment, Ian Sterling just has a mini meltdown over Joe Thomas bringing in a window. So I actually thought this was a fairly well done task. This was actually a pretty good prize task. Like, again, not top.
I just have nothing.
Not top tier, but I'm a little surprised that Greg didn't rank this particular entry a little bit higher.
I think starting next year is I'm going to watch the episode twice before
Why
recording.
Why don't you watch it on normal speed, like a normal human?
Because
you're watching it twice. You're watching it twice. That accomplishes the same thing. Like, I actually, here's something I found out recently. Tom Scott, who is like, you know, the British YouTuber to ever British YouTube, apparently watches almost.
Isn't that Jay Foreman?
No. No. Tom Scott is, if you put a gun to someone's head and said, name a British YouTuber, that is who they would name, because he is like.
No, they would name KSI. They would name KSI.
Who the fuck is KSI? Okay, let me rephrase that. Someone who's not English, someone who's not British. You put a gun to their head and said, "Name a British YouTuber." They would say Tom Scott.
I don't know what world you're living in where that's the case, but
America.
Let's keep moving.
And anyways, but Tom Scott said.
Fuck yeah.
That he watches everything on 2x speed on YouTube. And I almost shit myself because I was like, what is going on in that country that like everybody seems to do this? But he said specifically about the only thing he doesn't watch on 2x speed is Taskmaster because it's just so densely packed with jokes. So it continues to baffle me that you are even able to comprehend this show at 2x speed.
I can't help but feel very ganged up on.
I can't gang up on you. There's just me. I'm not a group of multiple people.
To be fair, though, Joe, you could compensate for two men.
I could compensate for being multiple people, but it still doesn't change the fact that it's just me. Have you also considered that you're the weird one by watching the stuff at 2x speed?
We need...
Again, simply get on my level, Emerson.
Okay, Ian Sterling has brought in a beer fridge because he's Scottish and they fucking love alcohol. And yeah, the beer fridge has a built-in window. But you can't see through completely through the fridge. You can just see inside it.
Well, it doesn't say what see-through has to contend for. It does, in fact, have a see-through door. I would say that the see-through
Greg
door
didn't like
is.
It.
Yeah, well, Greg's fucking weird sometimes. He was already okay. I'd also like to point out that he has already been primed to dislike everything. Like, I feel if it had gone like Ian, Joe, Sean. And then Lou and Paul, there would have been a very different score for this episode, for this task.
That's a very interesting thing. I never for a second would have considered the order in which the prizes were introduced
because,
could affect
because
their
like, yeah, because he
that
got
is so
because,
weird. How did I never?
Because, like, Joe Thomas brought in a window, and it's like, oh my god, okay, this is the level we're going at. Maybe the next one can do it. And then you've got Lou Sanders bringing in a book that says see-through on the cover. This is getting worse. Then we've got a fucking hula hoop, and he's just done. He doesn't react positively to a bottle of alcohol, and then we've got the beer fridge, and he's just picking a fight at this point. If it had gone beer fridge, window gin, that would have been a much better, that would have been like, okay, I can see where you're going with this one. That's Joe Thomas. And then, ooh, alcohol. And then we've got Lou and Paul as like also there.
Okay, so the scores are, no one wins the task because Greg deems them all.
Joe kind of unworthy wins. Of winning.
Joe gets 4 points and everyone else gets 1 point, which is a very interesting way to score. Obviously, we've had weird scoring before, but stop it with the noises. We have had weird scoring before, of course, but it's just weird when no one sort of wins outright.
I would say that the point differential is big enough that Joe Thomas is the outright winner of this, but I would also...
I guess, but it's a hollow victory. It's a hollow victory.
I would have scored this differently just to begin with. Do we want to drop Spelvin's jingle?
Yep, just done it.
It's the Taskmaster, and his name is Joe, and he's gonna tell us what we should know. It's Taskmaster Joe.
Okay, so I probably would have put Joe Thomas, I'm actually kind of up in the air on this because I thought that Sean probably is like the best one because gin in a bottle, okay. See-through. But at the same time, like,
it's alcohol. You know,
yeah, no, that's what it, well, no, that's what it is. It's gin specific. Like, I don't like gin that much, but you know, alcohol, yay, that's top five. That's 5 points. I'd probably put.
I thought that would also.
But also,
I'm
Joe
surprised
Thomas,
the alcohol didn't appear to the Shropshirian in Greg.
Yeah, no, it was very interesting that he didn't. I think that he was really at that point primed for disappointment. But I'm also, I really like Joe Thomas's window because, as much as they are saying that's a very literal answer, I would not have considered that like just a window. Like, so I kind of like both of those. I'd either put those 5 and 5 or Joe gets 4 and Sean gets 5. Ian solid third place because that's see through. I'll deem that as see through, but he had the whole meltdown and got one of my favorite sound bites of the episode, which is he brought in a fucking window. If you want to get that, they're from right here. But he brought in a fucking window. I would have given him last just out of spite. Paul Sinha, no points because he did not bring in something transparent. And then Lou, I would give 1.2 because it's a weird-ass book. It's a weird-ass book that basically encourages you to think everyone is lying to you. So, not spectacular.
Joe, I've not asked this question to you for a very long time, but I'm going to do so now.
What would you have brought in
for this prize task?
I was thinking about it. I almost was thinking about just water. Because water's clear.
That's a good one.
It would not have occurred to me.
You can make the argument for vodka then.
But it wouldn't have occurred to me to be creative with it. Like alcohol, like I was just thinking like, yeah, water. I wouldn't have even thought like a window or a pane of glass. Just like, yeah, pour some water in a bottle or something. But I don't think I would have done well in this one. Just because it never would have occurred to me to think outside the box.
I would have tapped into what Greg would have wanted, and I probably would have brought in, if I could find it, you know, like one of those like little novelty binoculars, and you look through, and there's like a naked person.
That's not exactly see-through. Is the naked person see-through? Can you still
see? Well, you see through the thing to see on the other side.
Oh, so the naked person's like superimposed on the glass, and then so it adds them
correct.
To... Okay. Yeah, that would be inventive. It would be difficult to show on the television, though.
I probably would have... Maybe I would have got a picture of, like, the iconic Sexy Greg photo to do it.
Oh, then you'd have lost. Because you're talking about
I
the
mean,
Rod...
If he didn't expect...
The photo from Rod.
If he didn't expect it, then there has to be some merit to if it's unexpected, I think.
Oh, which...
Because we did have an unexpected Sexy Greg Davies photo sighting in Series 15.
Okay. Oh, by the way, talking about Rod Gilbert for a second, good news.
He recently
came back cancer-free, which is good.
Yay!
So,
congratulations, Rod.
Delayed
Can't
news
wait to
there.
Hear all the jokes you make about cancer on your tour.
I was going to say, his chemotherapy jokes are going to be fucking baller. Because I've heard...
That's literally what I just said.
I said it at the same time as you did. There was delay. Oh, but, boy. Anyways, on to the next one. Conceal yourself inside a phone box.
Very so, British thing, the phone box.
Yep. This is actually, they show the phone box.
The downgrade of the British phone box has been one of the saddest in history. Of course, they still have, like, the classic red one that was in this task, but it's a lot less common. And now it's just like a grey box that's predominantly glass.
I actually read an article once about the aesthetic changes of different British phone boxes. I can't for the life of me remember it, where I found it. I think I found it on Reddit or in one of Tom Scott's newsletters. But yeah, it said pretty much the same thing. How they introduced this one is really nice. There's actually a... they show Alex like watering the compass on the ground outside the house, and it grows out of there, which is really in stop motion, which is really nice. I think this is one of the first.
Does it like go from like a little miniature postbox and it just gets bigger?
They just have two images of the same scene with and without the phone box, and they introduce the phone box in like three sections over the span of like a second. So it's like doot doot doot, and it just gets taller. It's a fun little video editing trick. I think this is one of the first times that we've had like a large scale object inside the compass after Ali the statue, and is something that we're going to see a lot more in subsequent.
What happened to Ali, man?
I think he's just in the background of some stuff, sort of like Bernard the mannequin. But the task brief is completely conceal yourself inside this phone box. No part of you or your clothing may be visible from outside the phone box. Fastest wins. Your time starts when you shout, "I'm invisible." Your time starts now. So we do get to see a really fun thing where several comedians think they're not allowed to leave the phone box because they all...
What is it with these people thinking that when they're in a confined space, they can't leave it?
Well, because they have been exploited to Alex Horn's continual mind games, but it's also just a really interesting thing that's just sort of what makes Taskmaster work is that people will oftentimes react very strongly to instructions to the point where they will think that it is the only thing they're allowed to, like, conceal yourself in this phone box kind of implies they're not allowed to leave the phone box. Like, to get off topic for a brief moment, this is something that, like, runs into a lot of time in, like, government and stuff. Like, some of the people who were writing the U.S. Bill of Rights in the 1700s, there was some concern among them that if they outlined the 10 basic things that you are allowed, that the government isn't allowed to stop you from doing, that it won't ever, that people will think those are the only ones you are allowed to have. And it's still something that we're dealing with today in modern times, but it's something that people just sort of do.
I would have had no comment on that whatsoever.
Yeah, well, because your country is the one we rebelled, the reason why we had to write that. But, so we, So it's something that people do. It's kind of what makes this task work, because sometimes people will just think they can't leave, and it makes it a lot funnier in these things. Like Lou Sanders.
Yeah,
No, it was Sean. It wasn't Lou. It was Sean. Sean tries to just like melt into the floor of the phone box, and
tries to get into like the ceiling of the something, the thing, doesn't it? Doesn't she?
Yeah, Lou tries to hide up there like she's Spider-Man, because the phone box. For those who don't know, phone boxes have like an arched style roof to them. Like it comes to a dome shape at the top. And I think her plan was she was going to hide inside the dome, which is not big enough for her. And also no place for her to like hold on to or like bear her weight. But, and also just
really not good idea.
Just to point out, we have like four people all at once. And then Paul Sinha is shown separately, but to just sort of go through this, because it's kind of hard to explain how they're doing it. Ian took all the couch cushions out of the caravan and made himself a pillow fort where he like crouched down inside of it. He was not seen 4 minutes 46 seconds, and then Lou eventually just covered herself in blankets, and it took her 8 minutes 17 seconds. Sean disguised herself as garbage by like wrapping herself in garbage bags, but a tiny little bit of her hair was still visible.
You could see her hair.
And so that was disqualified. Or no, actually no, they get less points. I thought they were going to get disqualified.
She claimed that the hair, when they point out her hair in the studio, she says, oh, it might have been a fox or something.
Yeah, it was either me or a fox. No, Greg makes a joke that it was either her or a fox. And then she's like, hair's not your clothing. And then they were like, no, but it's part of you. So she goes with that. Fine. Then we have Joe Thomas, who found a roll of bubble wrap, red bubble wrap, interestingly enough, in the shed and taped that up, but was...
Why would you pick bubble wrap?
Because, well, no,
it's translucent.
Because it's not. Not in the same manner that, like, the things they brought in for the prize task is. And it's red. I kind of figured it wouldn't be. I thought it was paper at first, but he tapes it up. You can see his shadow through it, which gets us a great line of he's asked, like, are you expecting me to not have a shadow? And then you can see an outline of him, but I suppose the argument can be made, you don't know that that's him. But more importantly, the bubble wrap isn't the width of the doors of the phone booth, and he didn't, like, didn't cover it.
He didn't double up on layers.
He didn't double up, and so you can just actually see him through a crack in the tape. So he's gone. And then we have Paul Sinha, where Paul had a very windy day.
AKA the smartest man on the show.
The smartest guy on the show. Paul had a very windy day to do this. And he was trying to tape newspaper to the outside of the phone booth windows, which was not working. Because it kept blowing away, he eventually just shanghaied the production crew into being a human shield. He also used a couple cushions from the couch in the caravan, and then he crouched down. Like, he had another guy in the phone box with him, and he crouched down in a way that the guy in the phone booth with him looked a little bit like, what the fuck is going on here? And then they pan the camera around. You can't see a thing from down below. And then they lift up the camera to look over people's shoulders. And you can just see Paul's little face in there. It's perfect. I want that to be the thumbnail for this episode.
But, you know what? I actually wrote in my extremely limited notes section, Paul peeking out, semicolon, possible thumbnail.
I quite liked that one. I thought that was good.
The face is so good. It's like, he looks a child who's been caught with his hand in the cookie jar.
It's just silhouetted, and it's so very good. Also, something else I sort of wanted to mention, Spelvin actually pointed this out in the comments for a previous episode. During the production and filming of this season of Taskmaster, Paul actually was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, which is a disease that sort of degenerates your motor function. So in a couple of these more physical or like fine motor control tasks, Paul might not be doing that great because he is actively having like the noticeable but not yet diagnosed symptoms of a major degenerative illness, which is not his fault. I do just want to point that out. Like, obviously some of these are just because he's inept, but some of that is not his fault.
Do we have any updates on Paul's Parkinson's as of 2023?
I'm not
entirely sure how the disease functions.
I don't know that either. Not off the top of my head. I assume he's either got it. He's not, forgive me for sounding dark, he's not dead, so I don't know beyond that. I can Google that while you do that once we do the next task.
Anyway, did you mention Paul's time?
No.
22 not, minutes, 47 seconds.
So Ian did it in 4 minutes, 46. Lou did it in 8 minutes, 17. And then Paul did 22:47. It wasn't said for Sean and Joe, but they didn't get it, so it doesn't matter. And as far as scoring goes, I thought that that the people who were seen would have been disqualified, but they just got lower point totals. So the points are Ian 5, Lou 4, Sean and Joe 2, and Paul 1. And then we have a single adapted task, which is conceal yourself inside the car. Basti Test Season 4, Episode 5, which is, I assume, the exact same thing, but... okay. So looking at it, Basti Test had a similar task. It was basically you had 3 minutes to hide yourself in the car, in a car on the property, and fastest wins within that 3 minutes. So not quite the same thing. But
okay. So I guess I'll do my best to talk about VT Task 2.
Yeah, I liked this task. Design the most.
Yeah, because it was a twist on the music tasks. You don't actually have to create music, but you have to do something tangentially music related. So anyway, design the most iconic album cover. Best album cover, album title, and band name wins. Your album cover will be taken in 30 minutes from now. So this is a team task. I guess this is where we get the team, because, you know, we've had team names in the past. We had Team Funk.
Yeah.
We had Team Lat, whatever you want to call it. I guess this, we would have Team Sex for Ian, Lou, and Paul.
Yeah.
And Team Show. Show with the rock and roll umlaut.
Over the
E. Which is where the title comes from, for Sean and Paul. Over the E, thank you. For Sean and Paul. So... the team of three are up first. As I mentioned, quick apologies. The album was called Sex. The band itself was actually called Lou Saunders and the Lovely Boys. So that is their team name. Excuse me. Although Team Sex sounds a bit more interesting, if I may say. So the album cover itself features Ian and Paul. They're holding up some signs and wearing hats. What did the signs say? I didn't quite catch
it. I didn't catch it either. Their album cover suffered from the legibility aspect of I can't under... I would like to point out, when when I heard this task, because something you didn't mention is that the task was presented as a vocal recording on a vinyl record. Something that I
that's true.
Again, another little joke. The label on the record says his Taskmaster's voice, which is a really deep cut to the old RCA Victor record labels, because RCA and Victor had had a picture of a dog looking into the bell of an old phonograph, implying that their records were so good the dog thought his master's voice was coming from inside the record. And so that's a really good audio video, like a really good old music format nerd joke. But getting back to what I was saying, when
Joe likes old stuff.
I do. I really do. Getting back to what I was saying, I really thought that they were going to take the picture and then the title graphics, like the band name and everything, were going to be put in afterwards digitally.
Later.
So like for Sex, they wrote the band name on a mirror that Paul is holding with like a dry erase marker, and you just can't fucking see it because it's barely comes through on the camera. And so I feel that their album would have looked a tiny bit better had they actually like added in all the title work digitally.
That's true. Although you saying that, having like small text can sometimes work. There's an artist called Tom Grennan. If you're British, you will, and between the ages of like 15 and 30, you will probably know who he is. He's one of those like younger up and coming artists, but he has a very popular song called Little Bit of Love, and the album cover, it's sort of just like a random array of objects, with nothing, no like big standout illegible text like what you're mentioning. But there's like a couple of like little tickets, like old style tickets for like a carnival ride or something. And you can see Tom Grennan and Little Bit of Love written on
it. Well, yeah, but that works because there's a higher contrast. They're doing it on a mirror with like a clearly running out of ink dry erase marker. So the legibility wasn't great. That's more what I was saying. Like that specific use case didn't work well. Also, I Googled Paul Sinha. He's still working, so his Parkinson's has not affected his life that way. He also married his husband in 2019, so good for him. I didn't know he was gay, but good for him. And then,
Hang on. A couple of other things. Both the boys have like an orange over one of their eye, and they have roses in their mouth.
Yeah.
Lou is stood. Hang on, let me finish. Lou's standing on a red ball between them, and according to her, this ball is meant to represent the man. Whatever that means.
Yeah, and they're trying to like deconstruct.
She's got sunglasses on.
And they're trying to like deconstruct themes from A Clockwork Orange, and it's a bunch of nonsense, I feel.
Oh yeah, they did mention it was very Clockwork Orange style.
Yeah.
Next up is a team show.
I liked this one.
And the album's called It's Too Big, and there are accents on the S and the G. I don't know how that affects their pronunciation, but we move.
They don't work like that.
This was
don't.
Oh no, these didn't have it's and big didn't have umlauts on them. They had like
no, there was an umlaut over the G in big.
I thought it was like just like a straight dash or something. That's what my notes picture. Anyway, so this is more of an artistic album. Like, this is a more of indie This is more of an indie rock album cover that you would see. So we've got, I think that one of them's The Right Way Up and the other's Upside Down, unless I'm being completely wrong.
What, the how they were?
Yeah, one of Joe or Sean was Right Way Up, the other was Upside Down with their head next to them.
So Joe, okay, so if we're orienting the picture, like, as if we were holding it, Joe Thomas is facing towards the bottom of the album art, and Sean Gibson is going off towards the top. Their heads are in the center. And I'll have to message Carl on taskmaster.info, because they did just use umlauts on the cover art of It's Too Big. So there, it would just be, there were umlauts over the S and the G, not lines.
Okay. So Joe's in like this weird shirt and he's got a tie, and he's lying next to Sean, who is dead, apparently.
It's very indie band, I gotta say. Like, if I didn't know who they were...
That's what I said. That's what I said.
And I saw this, I would think it was just a band that I'd never heard of.
I did say they were in... They looked very indie.
I absolutely did not hear you. I'm very sorry.
This is the typical American Joe is. He thinks that no one... Just because someone has said something... Just because he has said something... Doesn't mean someone else has said it before, not 5 minutes before.
Did you say something?
No. So Sean is dead. There's a rose lying on her. And this was interesting because they actually, while in the studio, Joe and Sean actually performed a little bit of a song. I don't know why it's saying a segment of the song, because an album's supposed to have like 12 to however many songs on it.
It could be a single.
That's true. Did it have a name?
It was called It's Too Big. It's Too Big. Because you should just play the soundbite.
Was the album named after like the lead single or something?
Could be. We're not really clear on that. You should just play the sound of that, because Greg just made a noise that was fantastic. Because Joe attempted to beatbox.
Let's imagine this. The lights go down. Everyone starts clapping. Suddenly, Sean's wheeled across the stage. The crowds are going wild. Oh, look, there's Sean. She's gone now. And here comes the light. For on Joe.
It's probably like, get together. What it would be. I'm sorry for doing that.
So the scores, as it stands, the team of two get 4 points and the team of three get 2 points each. So any objections, Joe?
No, I liked Sean and Joe's much better than I did the other ones.
Would you have given them the full five?
No, they're both okay. Let me explain this. I think if I'd seen either of these without the context of knowing about Taskmaster, I would have assumed that they were just terrible indie bands. So no, they were both good. And there is an adapted task, Sir Mastari season 3, episode 6. And this one was each contestant had to do their own solo album as opposed to a group task.
Do you think this would have worked better as a solo task or as a group task?
It would depend. Really, it's about the creativity of the people involved more so than anything else. You could do a lot with this.
I just also want to say, I think this is one of the tasks I would most like to do.
I would like to do this one.
Creating an album cover style photo is so cool to me.
Well, you can just have anything as a fucking album cover nowadays. I think Kanye, before he went completely off the deep end, did one that was seriously just an iPhone conversation back and forth. And it was like just a screenshot of a text message. And then there was another one that he did where he just took a picture of a mountain with his iPhone. Like, you can just do anything nowadays.
Fair enough.
I can make a bomb-ass album cover in 10 minutes.
And okay, let's not talk about Kanye.
Don't support him. Or as
Andy Parsons would have pronounced him, Kanye West.
Yeah, to clarify, in case it's not clear, I'm not saying this in support. I just happen to remember that those were some rather improvisational album covers, as opposed to some more elaborately produced ones. But
Joe, talk about the next cast as we're getting close to the 1 hour mark.
Oh, good. Then we're right on schedule. Recall the order of the deck of cards. This is a fun one. This is an evil one. In 5 minutes, you return this pack of the cards to Alex in the lab and tell Alex the order the cards are currently in. You may not leave this room during the 5 minutes. Most correctly named cards wins. Your time starts now. So there's a deck of cards, which, again, Alex is being a dick. It's a deck of cards that have no bearing on reality. The suites go from 2 to 4.
They start out normal.
No, but it's
then we get some really left field ones.
Yeah, you get stuff. The suites go from 2 to 15. There's yellow is a card that just is yellow and labeled yellow. One that says happy birthday. One with Greg and Alex. It's all just dumb. I don't recall the exact order of them because I'm not doing this. But also, they were given a pad of paper, but no pen, except that Alex had a pen in his pocket that he refused to give them. There was a pen hidden on the opposite side of the table from them, like glued to the side.
Debajo de la mesa, nearly.
Exactly like that. And then Alex also pointed out after the fact, to the dismay of everyone, that his iPad had a camera on it, and they were also filming the show. So they could have used any of the film any of the TV cameras they were using. But basically, this is hell on earth for everyone not named Paul Sinha. So,
this is the perfect task for Paul Sinha. If there was ever a task that was so perfectly designed for a contestant, it was this one for Paul Sinha.
And but so we start with actually, Ian, Joe, and Lou are... I'm sorry, Ian, Joe, and Sean are shown relatively together. Ian especially gets really mad with Alex for... and calls him, like, a snarky sister, among other things.
What the hell that means?
I think he also called him, like, an asshole at one point. But Ian made 25 mistakes out of, like, a 52-card deck. Joe made 7. Sean made 13. And then we have Paul, who's showing off his memory skills in action. He missed the second card in the deck, and that was it. Everything else he remembered, he made little memory.
What did he...
He made a mnemonic for...
What did he say the second card was?
I don't remember. Ironically enough, I do not recall. I think he said it was the 1 of diamonds instead of the 2 of diamonds. It doesn't really matter. He got a single mistake. And then we have, and he was mad about it afterwards, but he made like little mnemonics to remember the order of some of them, which the order was really dumb because it was like a lot of the cards in the alphabetical order of the numbers they were. And then some of them were like [S2] Yes. [S1] In patterns, like there were 2 15s and then there were 15 twos because fuck you, I guess. And then that sort of thing is what it was. And then we get Lou Sanders, who is reading, as she's like reading the task, shuffles the deck of cards out of the order that it was in, and like basically realizes that she can't fix this because she didn't know what order.
She can't fix it.
She can't fix it because she was unshuffling them as she read it. And then, because she was like panicking, trying to figure out how to salvage the situation, she didn't fully comprehend that she couldn't leave the room, and so left to find a pen. And by the end of it, she wrote down 18 cards and made 12 mistakes. But it didn't matter because she was DQ'd long before that. So the scores are Paul 5, Joe 4, Sean 3,
Joe 4,
Ian
Sean
2,
3,
and Ian Lou 2, 0. And
Lou's DQ.
And then there is an adapt...
Damn, we were so close to saying the same exact thing.
You were very close to throwing me off my own words, but then we've got two adapted tasks of this. Season 4, Episode 8 of Bossy Test, and Season 3, Episode 1 of Stormester. Both of which came out within a month of each other, actually, in 2020. So, very interesting there. Then we're on to the next one, which is the one you wanted to talk about.
It is, and we are back at Rocco Sports Center, whatever it's
next
called.
Next to the Southwest Trains main line.
I had PE lessons at this place many years ago when I started my secondary school. So the task is...
Did you have the giant net?
I don't think I played in that particular area where they did. I'm sure they had the net. The thing is, I'm like Greg in the sense that I cannot stand the sport of football. So I would... It was just not something I paid a lot. I was deliberately good at, just saying. But then they opened up the option to do other sports, and I took that opportunity and ran with it. Anyway, the task here is score a goal from the furthest distance. You may only take one shot. If you don't score a goal, you are disqualified. You must perform a terrific goal celebration whether or not you score your goal. There might be a bonus point for best goal celebration. You have 5 minutes.
I like the use of the word might. I've never seen the word might used in here before.
What if, like, there might be a bonus point. Didn't say there would be one, so they just look stupid.
I don't recall there ever being might used before. Can you?
No, I can't. But let's talk these contestants. So, interestingly, we start with Ian is the only person who gets like any sort of setup. So they do the thing where they like they show Ian setting up first, and then they leave him on a cliffhanger till the end. But so the goal that the they want you to use is a pretty little one, like one maybe a child would use at a school football match. But Ian and Alex, they go off and they find a much bigger goalpost, about 3 times as wide as the one in the task and about 150% taller by the looks of it.
It's
so
50%, yeah,
it's
huge.
Essentially going to be very difficult. It's going to be very difficult for Ian to miss. But we're going to come back to Ian because we've got 4 people who just sort of do jump with the go with the task from the off. So each person goes to a certain distance. Sean starts out the closest at 9.8. Then it's Joe at 11.5. Lou, 14.6 meters. And Paul, 17.2 meters. So they all attempt to kick the ball and none of them make it in. Sean celebrates by running around the field squealing.
Which Sean...
Actually, I was wrong. Sean was the only one to score.
Yeah, Sean got it in, and that's why she ran around squealing, because she genuinely didn't think she was going to get it in. And so that's a genuine celebration.
Yes, and spoiler alert, Sean is the only person to get any points at all in this task. But yeah, it was a very nice reaction, and it was a very wholesome moment. Joe, Lou, and Paul all failed. Joe attempts his from a strange angle. He doesn't make it in, but he does a bunch of roly-polies in a row, and then he shakes the goal. Greg was so close to giving him the might bonus point for best celebration, but he changed his mind for some reason. Lou also does some roly-polies, but that's sort of where she ends. And then Paul forgets to celebrate. He misses and he just collapses, and then he
no.
He remembers to celebrate, and he just goes, oh. He He just goes, oh,
I'm the winner.
Yeah, oh, I'm loser. The loser. Hooray.
Yeah, which I will say, him crouching on the ground in the way he did after he missed is how I have seen some soccer players celebrate. I've also seen them, you know, commiserate that way too. But so it's probably realistic, if not particularly showy.
Yeah, but he forgot the celebration point of the task and was thus disqualified. So then we come back to Ian. So Ian has made his target much bigger. So it's, and he goes to the farthest distance back of anyone, nearly double Paul Sinha's. Ian goes to 32 meters, but he still fails.
It was so funny. And then he tries to get the
conga line going. Yeah, it was. He tries to get a conga line going. It's him at the front, followed by Alex and a couple of crew members. And then they all get to the front and they just jump around waving their hands. This is why I watched... This task here is one of the reasons why I like to watch Taskmaster on 0.2 times speed, because it was just so much funnier because it was quicker. Ian was chanting, "I just scored a goal. I just scored a goal," as you're doing, and saying that really quickly was funny. And then seeing everyone jump around really quickly at the end was funny as well. And Ian reports that Alex whispered to him that he did not have to continue with the celebration for that, because it looked like it went on for at least a minute.
Well, he wanted to celebrate his not goal.
So, yeah, everyone gets
Greg
points except Sean, who gets the full
and
five.
And Greg decides not to award the bonus point.
Who would you have awarded the bonus point
Sean.
To, Joe?
Genuine celebration.
That would have been a really amazing moment where Sean gets every single point available in this task and no one gets anything else. But yeah, we have just one task left, and it is our live task.
There are adapted versions to this one. There's a lot of them.
Oh, boy.
Sound too excited.
Oh, boy.
So, starting off, Season 4, Episode 3, Basti Test. Then, Season 3, Episode 5, Stormmaster. Then, Season 1, Episode 3 of Taskmaster Portugal. And then finally, Season 3, Episode 6 of Sir Mystari, which, interestingly, that episode is called Design an Album Cover. So, clearly, they must copy these tasks in bulk for when they do the foreign versions. But noted that in the Sir Mystari version...
Can I also just say that that episode title is really lackluster?
Yeah, it really... But, okay, so, just very quickly, the Sir Mystari version, you get, like... multiple attempts and you don't have to celebrate. But yeah, like Sir Mystari and Basti Test especially, they really do not have imaginative names for these. Like Basti Test is episode, because Basti Test is this weird thing where they'll have a guest star in for one episode alongside the regular cast. So like every episode title is just season whatever, episode whatever, insert guest name here, guests. So like Season 4, Episode 3 is Peter Appelgren guests, and that's the title. And then Sir Mystari Season 3,
Episode 6. Let's get Peter Appelgren on the podcast.
I don't even know who Peter Appelgren is. But then we've got Stormmaster. Stormmaster, Season 3, Episode 5 is called Get in the Daily Report? And then Taskmaster Portugal, which is Season 1, Episode 3, I had so many dreams with like an ellipses afterwards. So it's very interesting.
That's
like,
an interesting episode title.
Yeah, I don't know what that's from. Let me see what they said it was from. Title context. This... was uttered by one of the contestants during the transport a coconut as far as possible task.
Oh, the task where Nish rebounded the coconut back to pretty much where it started and still beat Mark Watson.
Yeah, this one, oh wow, this one is a real copy-paste job from a... Just to go into Taskmaster Portugal tangent for a second, this specific episode had... Contestants had to bring in the most boring thing, then do the teabag into a mug task from season one, score a goal from the greatest distance, draw their face on a visor, transport a coconut, fill a cup with tears, empty a bathtub, and throw some things. They had a lot of copy and paste things.
That feels like the whole of season one, or series one, because I'm British, in just one episode.
Yeah, let me see. Just about everything is some sort of adapted version. Yeah, because throw the teabag into the mug, score the goal from the greatest distance, draw your own face onto a face shield was copied from season 9.
With all due respect, Joe, it's getting a little bit late here.
Yep, and so yeah, let's just go on to the next one then. So is it...
Yes.
Is it me talking about the live task?
It is. Yes, it is, because I literally spoke about the previous task.
I don't remember anything. Yeah, no, this entire...
That was five minutes ago.
What was that you said about Americans not listening to you? Anyways, so this task...
I rest my case.
This task is one of the more interesting ones. So they've brought out the thing that Jess Nappet fell off of again. And this is...
The Nappet.
And the first task is standing behind the first line, roll your loo roll beyond the second line. There's a line halfway down it, and then there's a line right at the edge. If your loo roll fails to roll beyond the second line or falls from the runway, you are eliminated from the task. So everybody has different colors of toilet paper. They roll them. You know, that's a basic thing. So Ian almost, so they do it in,
yeah.
Who did this first? It was Sean. It doesn't matter. Ian, Lou, and Sean.
Everyone gets no points except Lou.
Okay. Let me fucking do this. Ian, Lou, and Sean managed to not roll their toilet paper off the edge or get it too short. Paul's didn't get beyond the second line, and Joe Thomas has rolled off the end. Ian specifically had his, like, teetering on the edge of the side of the thing. Notably, everybody seemed to roll theirs on a diagonal when you see the top-down shots. Really interesting. Second task, Alex asks everyone to take off their right shoe, and then gives the task brief of retrieve your shoe. You may not cross the line in front of you. If your shoe falls off your loo roll or your loo roll breaks, you're eliminated from the task. Fastest wins, winner takes all, because he plunks their shoe down on their toilet paper. And yeah, it's very quickly just pull it all back. Lou gets it first. The end. And then scores are tallied up. Sean Gibson wins, and she hula hoops with, Paul's hula hoop. Also, there's a couple adapted versions of this task, which I know you love, Emerson. Basti Test, Season 4, Episode 8. Taskmaster Portugal, Season 1, Episode 2, where they don't have the retrieve your shoe task because only one person even managed to get their toilet paper that far. And then the Maître de Jeu, which is a Taskmaster Quebec, Season 2, Episode 1, which actually aired, like, last month. I didn't know they had a second season. They have a glass of water placed on their toilet roll that they have to retrieve instead of their shoe. And then that's it. So, anything else you've got to say for the end of the episode?
I think we need to, you need to do a bit more listening. And
what was that?
Not. We'll see you next week, people. Goodbye.